As you make your way back to your seats, Dave Falk is going to come and read God's word to us. If you could turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And Dave Falk is going to read for us this morning.
And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the faithfulness of God, of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is in the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, making the body grow so that it builds itself up in love.
Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we do just pray for you to just give us your Holy Spirit. Help us to experience your Spirit's ministry as your people this morning. We're your children. You love us, and you tell us that you want to give good gifts to us. So we invite you to pour out your Spirit upon us in a fresh way because of your love for us. And we love you in return, Lord. We want to experience more of your Holy Spirit. So come and speak to us, Lord God, as we look at your word this morning. Open our hearts to receive all that you have for us as a church and as a community, as a people together, as a family, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, I recently had a couple of conversations with some brothers who are not currently involved in a local church. And they were open enough to speak with me, and I appreciated that. We're brothers in Christ, and I wanted to speak with them. I wanted to show respect for them, but I was concerned because these brothers hadn't been attending church in a while, and they seemed to be drifting from the commitment to the body of Christ that at one time they were quite passionate about. These were men that I'd seen love the Lord and love his church, and as I listened to them, I heard some perspectives, I think, that I've been hearing more frequently in the body of Christ recently. Ideas like they don't feel like they need to be part of a specific church, or there was a number of times they said they're looking for a church, but when I asked them specifically, well, did you go to church last Sunday? Did you check out a church? Almost every time that I asked them that question, it was like, well, no, not really. And I got the sense, I don't know if you remember that old song like from Lionel Richie back in the 70s. They really liked their Sunday mornings. They're like being easy like Sunday morning. I remember before I was a Christian, I loved my Sunday mornings. And it, when you know, it's nice to just get up when you want to get up. And I just got a sense that they weren't really that concerned. It wasn't a real priority in their life to find a community of God's people. And in one of these conversations, I was able to, I asked the brother, I said, would you allow me to share my perspective on some of the things you've been saying to me? And he was kind enough to allow me to do that. And I said, well, you know, I've been a Christian for a little while now, about 38 years. And as I've walked through my Christian life, I've known different individuals who at one time committed to the church, but have they drifted into some of those same kind of convictions that you're now experiencing and having. And over the years, you know, as I've watched people not committed to a body of Christians, the effect of that in their spiritual life was not that as they walked through their lives, they grew in their passion for Christ, their trust in Christ, and their love for his kingdom and their commitment to his mission together. That wasn't the effect. Actually, the effect was much more negative. At times, it had significant negative consequences in their lives and in their marriages, in their families. You know what happens to a log when it's removed from a fire? It's set aside, it grows cold, and the fire ceases to burn. Why is that? Because logs that burn together burn hot, and they burn bright. But apart, the fire goes out. I shared that little picture that I'd heard in the past, and I just urged these brothers to consider to walk out their Christian brothers, a place that they grow up, walk out their Christian lives with Christian brothers and sisters who are imperfect, because we are imperfect, are we not? We know that. And encourage them to find a local camp. But why? Why did I urge them to do that? My counsel might have been helpful, but the question remains is this. Is Christian community essential to our growth as Christians? You know, do we actually need Christian community to grow? That's the question I want to answer this morning. And I want to acknowledge that we live in a community that is made up of overachievers. We live, you know, for many of us, our work and our play are goal-oriented activities. I mean, this is an intense community, Northern Virginia, is it not? Do you agree with me? It's pretty focused. People are working hard. They're playing hard. We drive far and wide to get to our commitments, don't we? We have a lot of traffic as we do it. Youth sports, work, community activities, study, shopping. You know, all these things, they're intense. If you want to go to the mall, man, it's like, whoa, you got to get out there on 66. Oh, my goodness. That's the only road I know where it's Saturday night at 11 o'clock. It's crowded. I mean, it's crazy. So, you know, how do genuine, I think there are times where we all have this thing, are genuine relationships, is community even possible in a community like ours? And I think there's a people here this morning, I imagine, that some of you maybe at one time had great Christian community, and maybe friends have moved away, or life situations and circumstances have changed, and you wonder, is it really important or necessary that I keep pressing in into community? There are others are just wondering, you know, do I even need this? Is it important? Well, I want to just say this, just to get us started. Our vision statement as a church community actually assumes both community and growth. Our vision statement is this, if you're not familiar with it, it is we say we want to be a community that exalts, displays, and declares the gospel of Jesus Christ for the glory of God. So you see, it's right there. We want to be a community that's a group of people built around the gospel, that testifies to the gospel, that displays the gospel, that declares the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want to be a community. So that's part of who we are, as part of our DNA. And our mission statement is this, to go into our world with good news, to make and equip growing disciples of Jesus Christ. So we are assuming, we see that growing disciples, we want to go into our world with that gospel that we're living in community with, and we want to tell other people about it, and we want to see them come into the kingdom, and then we want to be the kind of community where we are investing in each other's lives so that we see people grow. So we're assuming community and growth. But how do community and growth tie together? And how can we grow together as a community in making Jesus Christ known? Well, Vince began his message last week saying, we all intuitively know that racism is wrong, but where would you go in Scripture to establish that, if you will? He took us to James chapter 2. And this morning, I think many of us have the sense that Christian community is important for us to grow. And there are plenty of places we can go into Scripture to establish this. But I want to turn us to, I want to look at this text in Ephesians chapter 4, and I want to make the following argument. I think for us, if we want to grow as Christians, we must first be joined to Christ and then to one another. I think our text this morning is going to show us that if we want to grow as Christians, first we must be joined to Christ, but we also must be joined to one another if we're going to grow together in Christ. If you look at verse 11 here in chapter 4, Paul begins by describing leadership gifts, and notice what he says. They're given to equip us for the work of ministry. That's what leadership gifts are given to do. They equip the saints for ministry. They teach sound doctrine. And then note the purpose statement, that we may no longer be children. This is the purpose for teaching gifts. So this purpose for us, being equipped in sound doctrine and gifts, is so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. These words, tossed to and fro, they're violent words. You know, and I was listening to the news, as many of you have been recently, because I do have family in South Florida and friends. One of my pastor friends down there just wrote to me this morning and just said, you know, he's got close connections to the church in Cuba. And he just told me that there was just real devastation down there. So, my heart's broken. But when I think about what I was been hearing on the news, someone told me there was like 15-foot waves at certain parts of this. And if you could imagine being in a boat on waves being tossed to and fro violently. Number one, it's not comfortable. Number two, it's not safe. And when we don't grow, when we're immature as Christians, we're vulnerable to all kinds of difficulties in our life, trials, false doctrine. We're vulnerable to deception. We're vulnerable to falling away from Christ and harming our lives by doing things that we ought not to do. It's a dangerous position to be in. So if we're to grow as Christians, we must first be joined to Christ and then to one another. So let's begin by asking the question, how can we be joined to Christ? Well, if you look at our text, and we're going to be spending the majority of our time in verses 15 and 16 this morning. Verse 15 says this, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head. We can grow up into Christ, as it says here in verse 15. But how can we be joined to him so we can experience this kind of growth? Well, the answer is quite simple. If you've trusted in the gospel, you've already been joined to Christ. If you've trusted in the gospel, you've already been joined to Christ. And I want to establish this by looking, you can just look on your screen because I'm going to have it on the screen. Verse chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Paul, earlier in this book, wrote this, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, and remember he says speaking the truth, so now he's saying the word of truth, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, and were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who was the guarantee of our inheritance until we attain possession of it to the praise of his glory. You see, when we believe the gospel, when we trusted in the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are brought into union with Christ. We're made alive together with Christ. When we trust in the gospel of salvation, this word of truth refers to all that Jesus accomplished in his life, perfect life, his atoning death, his resurrection, and now his ascension and being seated at the right hand of the Father above all the powers and principalities. We've been united with him in all those things. Our sins are forgiven. We have new power at work in our lives. He makes us new, and he breaks, as that great hymn says, the power of that canceled sin. I love that. He breaks the power of canceled sin in our lives. So the good news is that by believing in Jesus Christ and trusting in his gospel, we can experience spiritual growth, and we do. We experience new life and cleansing. But the Christian life is not a static thing. It's not pictured in Scripture as, okay, you prayed that prayer 20 years ago, now you just hang out, chill out, lay back, no problem, cruise. That's not the Christian life. It's not depicted anywhere as praying a prayer. And that's it. It's a dynamic thing. It's a living thing. It's being joined to Christ and beginning a journey that is characterized by increasing Christ-likeness and transformation in our lives so that we grow in our love and affection for him, our trust in him in the midst of our trials. No place in Scripture does it promise we won't have trials, but he promises to be with us in our trials, and as we trust him in our trials, he promises to change us so we love him and trust him more. It's an amazing, amazing picture of what Christian life is like. When we come into God's kingdom, we come into a real relationship with God the Father through the Son, by the Spirit, and we're to cultivate that relationship, and we're to grow. I have a friend who was a forestry major in college. Some of you know him. He told me this week, as I was talking to him about growth, that's Mark, by the way, if you don't know, he was a forestry major, and he always comes up with these kind of illustrations from nature that I really enjoy. He said, you know, human beings, we have a thing called determinant growth. Now, I didn't know what that was either, so. But basically, it means I will never be taller than I am right now. I can eat a lot of food. I can work out. I can hang upside down on my ankles. But I'm never going to be taller than I am now because there's determinant growth. But if you're a plant and you put the right amount of water, to get good soil and to get the sunshine, man, that thing can keep growing, right? And that's the way Christian growth is. We're to keep growing. Now, it's not a perfect analogy, but God wants us to keep growing. He wants us to make sure there's good soil and light and water and to move forward. That's what our relationship with Christ is like. We're to grow. Now, I want to reflect for a moment. If I asked you, how do you grow in your relationship with Christ? What would you think? Now, don't answer out loud, but what would be the first things that come to mind? How do you pursue growth in your relationship with Christ? I think the majority of us in answering that question would begin with things like, I need to read my Bible more. I need to pray more. I need to worship more. Now, and I am not diminishing those things at all, because part of how we really experience that growth in our grace and relationship with Christ is to know him through his word, to pray to him and develop that relationship and talk to him. Those are essentials. I'm not diminishing those. But our text this morning highlights our need to be joined in meaningful ways, not only to Christ, but also to other Christians. Okay? Look again at verse 15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. There is a reality that we are to cultivate our personal relationship with God, but in this verse, Christian growth here is a community activity. It's we who are to grow up into Christ. And how are we to grow up? How? In every way. Do you see that? And how does this happen? Well, one essential way that growth occurs in our lives is as Christians speak biblical truth to one another. Knowledge is essential because we have to speak truth. You know, if we speak lies to each other, we're not going to grow. If we're not filled with the word as we're in community, it's not going to help us to grow. But as we speak truth, there's an essential way that we need teaching, but we need to be hearing truth from each other if we're going to experience the growth that God intends for us. Now, why is that? Well, I could speculate on a lot of reasons for that, but I think the reality is because we're made alive, but we're not made perfect when we come to Christ, our vision is skewed still. You know, we learn truth and we get it in part. We see in part, we know in part. But sometimes when we think of ourselves, we only see in part. Sometimes that's positive. Or maybe we think of ourselves more favorably than we ought, and then we're proud, right? We think, oh, I'm really good. Sometimes we think negatively of ourselves. God can't love me. There's no way he can love me with all the sins in my life. Sometimes we think negatively about God. God, you're mean, you're unkind. Sometimes we think wrongly about God in the sense that he doesn't care if we sin. What does it matter? I'll just keep sinning so grace may abound more and more. See, we can think wrong thoughts about God and ourselves, and we need to speak the truth so that we can grow into Christ's likeness together. We need each other. I remember a number of years ago, and I've shared this story here before, but I want to share it again because I was meeting with a group of men at a coffee shop, and we were talking about just the struggles we were having. We were praying for one another, and I just confessed that I was really struggling with anxiety. And I'd told that to these guys before, and they had shared truth with me a lot of times. But one of the guys looked at me and said, Kenneth, I don't know if we can tell you anything new. We've said it all to you already. And that was a little discouraging to me. I don't think that was very kind, you know? And I looked at him, and I thought about it for a second. I said, you know, I really don't need new. I just need true. And I need it from you right now. I need to hear you say, God loves you. I need to hear those words from him. I need to hear, cast your cares on him because he cares for you. Make your request known to him with thanksgiving so that you can experience the promise of the peace of God that passes understanding. I needed to hear those words. Now, speaking the truth in love has many sides. It can be encouragement when we're weak. It can be correction when we don't see ourselves clearly. It can be reminding each other of the faithfulness of God when we're struggling with doubt. What do you struggle with in your life? What do you need to hear sometimes from your brothers and sisters? Sometimes one of the things I've come to appreciate is when I'm in a place where I'm convicted of my sin and I confess that with a brother and they speak gospel forgiveness over my life. I have found that to be really helpful to me in motivating me to turn back to Christ and really love him and repent of my sins, speaking the truth. Sometimes, you know, when people are in the midst of just real grief, and they're struggling. They have pain. Sometimes, this is stretching the metaphor a little bit, but speaking the truth can just be sitting with them and being with them and incarnating Christ to them. If we want to grow as Christians, we must be first joined to Christ and then to one another. Good news, we've been joined to Christ. And I do want to say before I turn the page here to the next point, if you've not been joined to Christ, well, then this power that of sin and the penalty of sin that Christ paid for is still on you. And if you'd like to learn more about that, I'm going to share about a class called Christianity Explored in just a moment. And I want to encourage you to consider coming to that. But I do want to speak to you and say his love is for you and he wants you to experience his forgiveness. So that's the first question. How are we joined to Christ? Answer, we're joined to Christ when we believe the gospel. Number two is, how do we experience life-giving fellowship where we grow, where we encourage one another as brothers and sisters? And the answer is by speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. Look at verse 15 again. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head. You know, when we come into the family of God, we gain a new father. But imagine if you were adopted into a family, right? And you're coming into the home, and maybe you're a 14-year-old child, and you come in and you're articulate, you're grateful, you didn't have parents, and now you do. And you just turn to your dad and you say, "Dad, you know, I really love you and mom, but I don't like your kids. Can I just relate to you, but not your children? Is that okay? Can I be a part of your family without like really talking to my brothers and sisters and hanging out with them? Because I just don't like them. They're a little weird. They're not cool. You know, but I like you guys." Of course, it's a silly illustration. But we can't come into the family of God and be lone range Christians. You see, why? Because it's God's design for us. God's given us brothers and sisters, and he encourages us to relate to one another in a specific way in his word. That's why we can't do this alone. So a key aspect of spiritual growth is being joined to other believers in loving relationships. And Jesus Christ said this. Remember what he said. He said when he was speaking to his disciples, he says, "A new commandment I give to you." This is Jesus. "That you love one another." Notice that? It's not a suggestion. This is a commandment. "That you love one another just as I have loved you." There's a qualification. There's a quality to the love. "You are also to love one another. By this all people," and there's a result of this love, "by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." And in one of his followers' letters, one of the followers of Jesus wrote, "We love because he first loved us." In other words, it's the love of Jesus that inspires us, that motivates us, that empowers us to live differently in relationship with each other. These are not to be divine suggestions. Christian community is to be different than world community. Life together in Christ is not a consumer activity. It's qualitatively different than Northern Virginia, where we buy and we go to places where we can find things that we want, that we need, that we're looking for. If the right stores aren't there, we won't go there. If the right foods aren't there, we won't go there. Why? That's a consumer activity. We're going to buy things. No, Christianity is different. We are called to enter into community with an attitude of sacrificial love. A willingness to lay down our lives as Christ has laid down his life. Now, Christian community is filled with sinners, let's be honest. And yet, we're called. It's important we be honest, because we need to understand this is not, it's not like some rosy idea where everything's going to be easy. That's not what Christian community is depicted as in Scripture. God, in fact, uses imperfect brothers and sisters to help us grow. Isn't that true? Isn't it true? And if you don't believe that, just think about yourself. He wants to use you. And you know you're imperfect. It's easy to know that. You look in a room like this and it's easy to think, oh, everyone around me is more mature than I am. Or you can think of the people that have hurt you in the room and you think, oh, I don't want to do that again. But let's be honest. Hanging with people that are like us, check. That's easy. Hang with people that are strong. Maybe I want to be in a community group where the people are strong. They can encourage me to grow. Check. That's easy. Hang with people who have the same cultural background. Maybe they come from the same kind of community or school that I went to. Check. That's easy. But what does the world see when we just hang out with people who are like us and that are easy to hang out with? How does the world see the love of Jesus Christ in that? You see, it's as men and women, young and old, from various cultures and economic backgrounds and races and ethnicities, even ethnicities that have hated each other for generations. I mean, this is, you know, I remember growing up before I was a believer thinking about just even the Palestinian-Jewish problem and just thinking, how is that ever going to be solved? But you, whatever ethnic background you come from, you know the ethnic groups that your people don't like. When those two people come together in community and love one another, now that is putting on the manifold of wisdom of God on display, isn't it? That's where people begin to see the love of God and what his disciples really look like. But you've got to get the vision to see this. There has to be, you have to see what God is doing in the world in the gospel. You have to see that when Jesus Christ came, he came in fulfillment of prophecy, and he fulfilled that prophecy, and something changed in earth history. Because when you see that, you start to say, wow, I want to get in on that. And that motivates and drives our willingness to make a commitment. Commitment is fueled by vision. Do you see what the church is called to be? Do you see it? D.A. Carson writes this. He says, the heart of true fellowship is self-sacrificing conformity to a shared vision. Christian fellowship, then, is self-sacrificing conformity to the gospel. There may be overtones of warmth and intimacy, but the heart of the matter is this shared vision of what is of transcendent importance, a vision that calls forth our commitment. A vision to see Christ put on display among the people of this earth. That's the vision. We want Christ to be made known. And how does it happen? It happens through mutual commitment to God and his people and his purposes, to do the things that don't come easy or naturally, to get our hands dirty as we practically serve one another, to lay down our lives for each other in relationships where we listen, we pray together, we care about each other. We're willing to do what Vince talked about last week. We're willing to listen to people who are different, take that time to kind of actually listen and invite people over who are different from us and say, what is your life like? I want to understand. How can I pray for you? What can I do to encourage you? And why can we do this? How can we do this? We can do it because there's one who did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a human servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Because of what Jesus Christ has done, we're to have that mind. Not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. We need to die to ourselves and love others enough to listen to their struggles, to participate in their trials, to share their joys, to share the truth with them. And you know what? Truth like this, the relationships like this, are, if we're going to share truth with one another, we need to be in relationships of mutual commitment with one another. Earlier I said if we're to grow as Christians, we must be first joined to Christ and then to one another. But truth needs a bridge of relationship to cross, doesn't it? You know, I was talking recently to a newer believer, and I was having this conversation over a meal, and the conversation was talking about the gospel and how that works, and it took an unusual turn, something I didn't expect. This person began to confess some sins to me. I honestly don't think they'd ever confessed these sins to anyone else before. They were in the past, 50 years ago. And I could feel the shame as they shared these things with me. And I was just thinking, okay, how do I respond to this? What does God want me to say here? And I remembered back to when I was a new believer and the shame that I felt for my own sins. I don't know if you remember that feeling when you just even thought about the shame. And I remember praying with a Christian one time, and God really spoke to me, and he gave me a picture of Christ taking all of the dirt and the pollution on me onto him and making me shine brightly. And and I don't have those kind of experiences a lot of times, but I understood the gospel for the first time in my life, and my heart was lifted, and my life was changed forever. And I said to the person, I said, you know, you're carrying shame. And you know Jesus died for your sins, but do you know he died to take your shame? And then I shared that story of what Christ did for me. But then I left it there. I just said, you know what? He wants you to experience his love. He wants you to know his mercy. And then we prayed, and that was the end of it. But I share that story because two things. Number one, we need trust if we're going to have conversations. If we're going to apply the gospel to the things in our life that are hard, we need trust. But also, I was very encouraged by that because, you know, I'm not by nature a very sensitive person. I grew up in New York. I'm gruff. Sometimes I'm rude. I'm more prone to say, you know, grow up. Get over it. Jesus died for your sins. I mean, that's naturally what comes to me by personality. But I was encouraged that the Spirit of God gave me grace to love this person. And when we grow together, isn't there peace when you experience grace in your life? Don't you want to grow in love and sensitivity to the Spirit and listen? That's what we're talking about here. And how do we get these kinds of relationships? Well, I want to just read with you one thing, and I would like actually to ask you to read this together with me. If you could put up the third point of our membership agreement here. This is the third point of our membership agreement. And I thought it would be helpful for us just to share with what we've already agreed to do. So would you read this together with me before I explain it to you? We will live together in love, pursuing relationships with one another, praying for one another, rejoicing in one another's happiness, and bearing each other's burdens. Isn't that well worded? That's really nicely worded. We must pursue these kinds of relationships if we're going to encourage one another, if we're going to strengthen one another. Commitment and love does not just speak the truth, but because of our mutual commitment to each other, we bear each other's burdens. We do things like go to chemo appointments with each other. We help each other when we move. When someone has a baby, members in the community come around them and bake them a meal. We rejoice when someone's child gets married. We grieve with each other when our parents pass away. Or God forbid, at times, even when our children pass away. We carry each other's burdens. This is part of what it means to be mutually committed to each other, to know that there are people standing with you as you walk through the difficulties and the trials. And thank you, so many of you, for being this kind of church. Thank you. When you're in the hospital and people come to visit you, your care group, community group leader, when your friends, when they bake you meals. But let's not take it for granted, brothers and sisters. We need to actually allow the Word of God to motivate us to self-evaluation and commitment. Are we going to be this kind of church moving forward? And I believe God wants us to be, and I believe we will be by God's grace. But we've got to make this mutual commitment to each other to be together speaking the truth in love. And so I'll close with, what is the result of being joined to Christ and others? The answer is this: we grow and the body of Christ grows. Look at your, if you have your Bibles, look at the text again. Look at verse 14. The result is, as we are joined to Christ in his truth and live out these loving relationships, we grow more and more like Christ. Look at verse 15. We grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. And then we're held together by Jesus Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with its equip. We're held together by Jesus Christ and each other as we do this together. And we labor together in the strength of Christ as each part is working properly. That's part, one of those parts is you. And the result is mutual growth. This makes the body grow so that it builds itself in love, builds itself up in love. As we seek to live this way, living intentionally, giving our lives away, utilizing the gift that God's given us, we will grow spiritually. And sometimes we won't even notice it. You know, you'll be in a trial and you'll find, well, I went through that one a little better than the last one. I didn't get quite as anxious. You know, that lifelong battle with anxiety that I was talking about when I, that was a meeting when I was 40 years old, I still face it, but I'm a little further down the road now. Praise God, I'm thankful for that. I want to continue, but I'm looking forward to that day when I see him and I shall be like him and I no longer have to battle the flesh anymore. And God willing, as the love of Christ compels us and we grow together, we will be compelled to share that love with the world around us. And as we do that, we will grow numerically as well, because we'll be sharing the gospel faithfully, because the love of Christ compels us not only to speak the truth in love to one another, but to testify to his grace in our community. And that's the kind of growth that we talk about in our mission statement. We're going into our world with the gospel to make and equip growing disciples. That's what we want to be doing. That's what we're here to do. Remember, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. By this, all men, all people will see and know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." So I want to transition now, and I just want to give you a few different ways that possibly different ones of you can get involved in community here. Earlier I mentioned Christianity Explored. Starting on September 27th, we have a Bible study called Christianity Explored. And if you're here and you're still, you know, trying to figure out who Christ is and what it's all about, the purpose of Christianity Explored is we go through seven sessions of the, it's a Bible study in the book of Mark. It's a short gospel. We read it together, and then we look at what Jesus says about himself and what he calls us to do. So if you want to know who Jesus is and what he calls people to do, it's a perfect place to do this. Questions are welcome. It's a low-pressured environment. Ken Cole and I will be there. A few members of our church will be there, and we'd love to have you come out for that. Now, if you are a person who's trusted in Christ, but you haven't made a commitment to a local church, next Saturday, September 16th, we have our Membership Explored class. And I want to encourage you, please come out and join us to learn about what it means to be a member of this church, what it means, what the rest of our membership agreement says. I read item 3 there, and we're going to look at that membership agreement, and we're going to look at what we believe and how we do mission together. That's Saturday, September 16th, and we have another one on the 21st of October if you can't make that. So please come and get to know some of our members and leaders. How else might we pursue community here? Because we're in a variety of places. Well, I want to begin by saying we experience community in a variety of ways. You don't need a formal meeting to experience community characterized by truth and love. You can do this over coffee with a group of men or women. Just be intentional. It's being intentional, though, to open the word and talk to each other and pray for one another. And if you're doing that, praise God. Another way we do it is just right now. You're showing a commitment to Christian community by being here this morning. Thank you. We experience community as we study the word together and we encourage one another and pray for one another. We also have a men's ministry. Yesterday we had a teaching on God's word and we prayed for each other and we shared our burdens with one another. Thank you, Rich, for that excellent message. Women's ministry, another way to pursue community in this church. Bible studies. There are all kinds of Bible studies and discipleship groups. So all different ways for you to get connected relationally. But historically in this church, I want to just mention something that many have experienced blessing is through our small groups. And we call them community groups now. This week on RGC Connect, which is our weekly newsletter where we keep you informed about all the things in our church. If you're not a part of that, I encourage you to get that, RGC Connect. I put out an essay on why we changed our names from care groups to community groups. Care expresses care. It's more internal. Our groups still, I think that's an expression of community, and we're still going to be caring for one another in our community groups. But community better captures the broader purpose of our small groups, which includes being outwardly focused, a missional community. So I'm going to just tell you the three purposes of our community groups are: one, to experience community, all the things we've talked about. It's a way for you to get to know a smaller group of people. We engage the word. It's a way for us to get in the word together. And some people study the Sunday sermon. Others will look at the scripture that we're going to be talking about next week. And the third purpose is to encourage mission. Because that's probably the hardest thing for us to do often, isn't it? To stay engaged in mission. I know it is for me. And we seek to just encourage one another by praying for each other. And that's basically what the community groups are all about. And if you're having a difficult time getting connected in Redeeming Grace Church, I want to just read from what a recent person who came to the church recently wrote to me. He said, as a member of the church in my 30s, I've experienced different levels of community care and fellowship during my initial time at the church. It wasn't until I got plugged into a community group that I really experienced community and a sense of shared life with other believers in the church. While fellowship of any kind is always encouraging, this man shared with me that there's something wonderful about getting together with the same group of people every week to pursue Christ. These weekly meetings have led to other weekly and monthly times of fellowship with group members. By meeting with these guys regularly, I've been able to form meaningful friendships with brothers in Christ. There's been times of fun and laughter and prayer. And I'd love to share more illustrations. I have a couple of illustrations here. I just want to just mention, though, these community groups are a way that we care for one another. In one of the testimonies here, Dennis Wischmeyer's group tells me about how they care for men and women on deployment, how they pray for them as they go out and as they support the families by mowing the lawn and making meals. And I'd love to take time to read all these to you, but we're running out of time here and I've got to close. But I want to thank you, Dennis and Tammy, for the way that you serve the men and women in your care group. And I really want to thank all of our community group leaders. And I'd like to just take a moment and just ask, if those of you who lead community groups, I know they don't like this and they don't want me to do this, but if you would just come down here, please, right now. And we just want to thank you. If you would just come up here. What I love is that nobody even waits to be invited to clap. You just did it spontaneously. And that's because your heart's filled. Because for years, these men and women, some of them are newer, some have just started leading a community group, and we thank you as well. But some of these folks have been doing it for 20 years, 30 years, cleaning their houses, preparing Bible studies, opening their hearts, praying for you. And I just, as we close, I'm going to close the meeting now, but I want to invite you to come down, and if you've ever been in community with any of these couples, just come down and give them a word of thanks. I want to invite you to do that at the end of our meeting today. I'm going to dismiss you, but I want to just say, on behalf of a grateful church, thank you. Thank you very much for the way you lay down your lives. I wish I could have shared more time, more testimonies of the things that have happened in your groups that you sent me. I just didn't manage my time well enough this morning, so I apologize. But thank you. Thank you so much for all that you do, the way you love the Lord, the way you live your life out among us. You inspire us. And there's three new groups that are forming this fall, actually. Dan and Rebecca Henders, Jeff and Carolee Williams, TJ and Claire Cahill, and Ben Russell. And these groups are, they're forming. I'm excited because it's the next generation of leaders being raised up in our church. They're going to have a sign-up table in the lobby. If you want to learn more about those three new groups, you can do that in the lobby. So what can you do? This is the one question I want to leave you with, and then I'm going to ask you to stand. What can you do in response to this message to pursue relationships of spiritual intentionality? What can you do? And I want you to just think about that. What can you do to pursue relationships with spiritual intentionality in your life? And just pray about that. Ask God. I've given you a number of things to think about, but just ask God to direct your steps and guide you in the next steps. If you would please stand now. I do want to remind the college and career members of the church that Chef Christo is preparing meatball subs for your delicious consumption. And hope you can come downstairs and experience community. That's part of why we have these lunches, so you can experience community here. We are grateful that you college students are here, and career and singles as well. It's for career and college students. We're grateful for your participation in this church. This is your church, and we want you to feel welcome and a part of this church. And so come down and build relationally down there. If you're not a member, remember, sign up for Membership Explored this week. Care groups will be out in the lobby. As you leave, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known in the earth and your saving power among all nations. Go in grace. Come down and thank these brothers and sisters. Have a great Sunday afternoon. Took a crown.